this weekend, we have some celebration. We celebrate our graduates who have achieved a major accomplishment, whether high school or college or other. And of course, we come this weekend and we honor those who paid the ultimate price, who sacrificed for their country, who fought for freedom, for the mission of the country. And it's an interesting combination of things. And as I got to thinking about that, I kind of went down the path of what all this means in the bigger picture. And of course, when you reflect on your life, you often reflect on the things that are most important to you. So of course, as many of you know and have experienced, part of my mind also went to what it means also to be a parent. And the thing I got to really thinking about was legacy. What is a legacy? You know, the world has a lot of messages about what a legacy is. Whether it be prosperity, popularity, wealth, position. But I wondered, and I got to thinking about, what is legacy in the eyes of God? If God were to write a legacy for the world, a legacy for us, what might that legacy be? What would it look like? The scriptures today give us a glimpse into that quite a bit. And they have much in common, even though they're very different. But they tell the story of a legacy that is rooted in God. The first lesson for today is the story of Samuel. This is one of my favorite stories in all of Scripture. There's some powerful stuff happening here. We don't know much just from this passage about Samuel or Eli, but Eli is a man who is seen as a leader, but has not necessarily had an easy life as a leader. His sons have rejected God and have rejected him. He's gone through some suffering. Even in this passage, we hear from Samuel that there is more to come for Eli. And then there's Eli. Eli kind of gets taken on by Samuel as Eli takes Samuel on as his mentor. You know, over the years, as I work with various folks and interact and have relationships with individuals, especially when it comes to the lives of our children and our youth and our young adults, the power of an adult who will invest in their lives and care for them is probably the most powerful thing. The idea of having a mentor, having someone that cares about you or has your best interest in mind, whether that would be a family friend, family themselves, teachers, coaches, youth leaders. The power of a mentor is significant. And Eli takes that role very seriously, especially in this passage. What happens to Samuel is it says in this passage that Samuel hears the voice of God for the first time. And Eli kind of figures out after a couple times, something's happening here. And so he tells Samuel, next time this happens, say, speak. I'm your servant, ready to listen. And Samuel does it, which is amazing. But this is one of the most powerful lines, I think, in all of Scripture. Speak. I'm your servant, ready to listen. I'm your servant, ready to listen. There's a lot of power in what's happening here. You see, in the end, Eli's legacy is found in his ability to listen. Samuel's legacy is found in his willingness to listen. And listening isn't just something that we do. It's a posture. It's a part of who we are. You see, real legacy, and this is the thing that all these passages have in common, listening. You see, real legacy begins with listening. Listening to God. We don't listen well in our culture. We have a lot of noise, a lot to say. We feel that we need to be heard. Listening in a lot of ways is countercultural, especially listening to God. And yet there's such beauty if we were to just walk around and say to the God of the universe, speak, Lord. I'm your servant, ready to listen. There is so much power in listening to God. And yet it's a dangerous thing. You know, when we listen to God, we hear some things that we need to hear. We hear encouragement. There are things that we also hear that we need to hear that we're not comfortable with. When we listen to God, we are surprised at what God has to say to us time to time. And it's not always a literal speaking like happened to Samuel in this story. Oftentimes, it's God speaking in relationships, words of a friend, circumstances, in creation, in God's Word. But God is constantly speaking to us. Sometimes people say to me when they have a particular experience, God has hit me upside the head with a 2x4. You know, kind of this idea of God getting our attention. And I usually don't do it in the moment because it's not helpful. But in some ways, that's not actually a helpful mindset. You see, God is not one wielding a big 2x4, whacking us on the head, trying to get our attention. You see, God, speaking through the Holy Spirit, is one who whispers. And to hear the voice of God, much like Samuel and even Eli in this story, we need to stop and be willing to listen. Speak, Lord, I'm your servant, ready to listen. Real legacy begins with listening. I have a hero in youth ministry. His name is Mike Iaconelli. And he was one of these guys who really learned to listen to God in a real radical way. And oftentimes, he would say and do things, and you knew he was listening to God in the midst of that, but you were like, wow, I don't have the courage, or wow, that is strange or crazy, you see, because listening to God is countercultural. And you know, I learned so much from that in my own life and in ministry, how to make it be about listening to God and not so much what I think or what I want or what I believe should happen. And one of the things that Mike would often say is that the Christian faith is an adventure. That really listening to Jesus is like an adventure. It's like a roller coaster. And I had a hard time with the analogy. I hate roller coasters. Heights, lack of control, all sorts of issues there for me. But I love the way he describes it. You know, you get on the roller coaster and you start to climb up this hill, and this is the Christian life, and you're like, all right, this is good. Life is great. This is exciting. And then you get to the top of the hill, and you look down, and that roller coaster goes down, and you think, I'm going to die. And then you zoom through this roller coaster, all the twists and the turns and the ups and the downs. And that's what it's like to really follow Jesus, to really listen to the voice of God. It's much like a roller coaster. But Mike would go on to say, he would say, you know, I hope that someday when I die, because you see, when we get off the roller coaster, not me, but many of us, are like, hey, that was fun. He would say, you know, when I die, I hope I have just enough breath in me to mutter one last phrase. What a ride. And I love that. That this following Jesus, this living this life that we have, that somehow at the end of the day, we look back and we say, what a ride. I remember the Saturday morning well in the fall when I got the email that Mike had died. And I was devastated. I was in my office in Indiana preparing to write a sermon, which had to be scratched and rewritten several times. And as I was mourning and figuring out and trying to figure out what was going to happen next, I caught that in my head, and I thought, I wonder. And as we got the details, he was driving his father, moving his father from Northern California down to his house, and he had, you know, in his 50s, had a massive heart attack and rolled his truck and had died. And I just remember in that moment saying, I hope that he just had one last breath. Just to mutter that phrase, what a ride. That following Jesus is about listening, and it's an adventure, it's a roller coaster. And at the end of the day, we can look back, even with the ups and downs, and we can celebrate and say, what a ride. Real legacy begins with listening. Our second passage today is one from Romans. It's a familiar one. I love this translation. It honors the text, and it speaks to us in a way that we can see and that we can hear. In the NIV, it begins to say, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, this passage is about transformation. The call to discipleship, being a disciple, as I've said many times, is about being changed, being willing to be transformed. But more than that, it's about giving every aspect of our lives to God. Our sleeping, our eating, our walking, our work, our volunteer work, our interactions at the grocery store, our driving. That's the one that's a little harder for me. Giving every little piece of this to the God of the universe and saying, God, you are in control. Take this. I give it to you. Do something good with this. Redeem this. Transform me. Transform this. Use this, God. Use me. And I love this image of giving every corner of our life over to God. I love this image. Because at the end of the day, it's not what we do, it's what God does. We just engage with the grace of God. We engage with what God is already doing. We invite God into the life that He has given us. But it's God's work, not ours. The culture would tell us that our legacy is about our work, but it's about God's work. The culture would tell us that we need to conform, that we need to do what makes sense, what's logical, what's appropriate. And yet God says, give it all over to me, and I'll transform you. It's a countercultural message. But if you haven't noticed yet, the world has gone crazy. And the world needs a different message. The world needs a different story. We need a different message. We need a different story. A story of change. A story of transformation. And God is ready and working in, around, and through us already. And we can engage with that and be a part of that and allow God to use us. You see, God is the author of legacy, but it begins in us after we're willing to listen, to be willing to be changed and to be transformed, to made new, so that God can work in our lives and God can use us to work in the lives of others. In the Gospels, there's a story called often the Parable of the Talents. And it's a simple story, if you haven't read it. It is the story of some workers that are given, they have some gifts that are given an opportunity. And there's a line that's in there that gets missed sometimes, and I like to catch those little lines in Scripture. And after the various workers produce something with what they have, the master, who by the way is supposed to be Jesus in the story, looks at the servants and says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I love that phrase. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's a legacy. You see, for me, even in the midst of my own imperfection, in the midst of my own struggles, it's the deepest desire of my heart that somehow, some way, I would look for God in every moment, be willing to be transformed, that I would try to be that person, that my dream, at the end of the day, has nothing to do with what happens here. But that someday when I come face to face with the God of the universe and am speechless, which will be a feat, I hope to hear those very words. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's a legacy that's worthwhile. That's a legacy that matters. It's a legacy that has no flash. That's simple. Well done, good and faithful servant. And so shall we aspire to be good and faithful servants of the God who has created it all and made it all for His glory, to reveal Himself to us, to reveal Himself to the world. Our last passage today, I chose the shorter version after our story of Eli, but it's the parable of the sower. Hopefully a familiar story to you. I love this. It says Jesus was on the beach and it got crowded, so he used the boat as his pulpit. I like that idea. I want to try that sometime. I decided because I flail so much, so it has to be a very sturdy boat, or it would be way too exciting of a sermon. But one of these days. And I love it. He's out on the boat, and it says Jesus tells a story. Jesus was a storyteller. We all love a good story, whether it's in a book, in a movie, in our own lives, than in someone else's life. We love a good story. God is writing a story still. God has written and is still writing a story. And he's writing that story in us and around us and through us. We are a part of God's story. We are a part of God's story. And God is writing a story in our lives. But this passage reminds us that the world is a harvest. That we too are a part of the harvest. And when it comes to legacy, there are some things that we can do. And one of them is to think about the soil in which we plant ourselves. I'm not much of a farmer. I planted some sod yesterday. I'm feeling it this morning. All right? You know, we've got some chickens. That's about as farmer as I get, all right? So, I have to stretch to understand this a little bit. But we do basically understand that if we have some seed and we throw it on the rocks, not much is going to happen. If we throw it on the path, not much is going to happen. If we throw it in the weeds, not much is going to happen. But if we throw it amongst the good soil, good healthy soil, and try and make sure it gets the right amount of water and the right amount of sun, something is going to happen. But you will also know that you can actually do that with a seed, and it's possible that it might not grow. And that's a reminder that it's, in the end, God's work and not ours. But we can cultivate these circumstances in our lives. We can cultivate our relationship with God. And when we do so, we produce a harvest. Two of my favorite quotes are related directly to this. One from the great saint of the church said, "Preach constantly, use words only when necessary." But there's a corollary that often doesn't get attached to it, and it's even more powerful in my mind. You might be the only Bible someone ever reads. Hear that again. You might be the only Bible someone ever reads. That whether we like it or not, whether we know it or not, we are revealing God to others. And that is the harvest. And the harvest comes when we listen, when we're willing to be changed, when we plant ourselves in good soil and we say to God, "Use me." You see, we have a mission. We're not just here to enjoy our relationship with God and the things God has given us. We're here to produce a harvest, to engage with God in his kingdom and what he's doing, so that we might have an impact, whether it's only for 3 minutes when we offer a smile to the cashier who's had a miserable day, or even more important, in those relationships that we hold dear. God has called us to be the light, to cultivate good soil in our lives, to cultivate good soil in the lives of others, so that we might know God. It's life in all of ministry is a seed planting mission. We work our best to cultivate someone's relationship with God, to show someone the love of God, maybe even never using words, maybe even never knowing whether or not they've accepted the message and the grace and the love of God. And yet we do it, trusting that God will take that soil, take that work, and he will produce something that's bigger than us, bigger than anything that we can do on our own. We have a mission. And our legacy is engaging with the God of the universe and his mission, knowing that he can do anything. Knowing that God desires to do stuff in, around, and through us that's bigger than anything we could ever dream of. And so when I think of this day and what I think of what it means to try to my best to be a follower of Jesus Christ, when I think of what it means to be a parent, when I think of what it means to honor those soldiers who paid the ultimate price, when I think of our graduates who finish one thing and move on to another season of life, I can't help but to think of the dreams that God has for us and for this world. I can't help but to think of the legacy that God wants to write in us. A legacy that starts with listening, requires our willingness to be transformed, to be changed, to be renewed, and invites us where God is at work to cultivate good soil. And somehow God will take that and God will use that to continue to reveal himself and his kingdom in this world. And that God somehow can take each one of us and do something in us and with us that we never dreamed possible. You see, real legacy is not wrapped up in the crazy messages of this world. And sometimes in life we're so busy just surviving, just going through and doing the things that we do every day, the things that need to be done, that we don't have the opportunity just to stop and take a breath. And I know this well. Just to stop and take a breath and think about the things that really matter. And think about who we really want to be, who God has created us to be, and what that really means. And to stop and think about when it's all said and done, what kind of legacy do we want God, not us, do we want God to write through us? We are a part of God's story. We are invited to intimacy with the God of the universe, just like John in the upper room when he leaned his head against the chest of Jesus. And my hope and my prayer for me, for those I love, is that we would be servants willing to listen. That at the end of the day, we would understand intimacy with God. That we would be lovers of Jesus, who at the end of the day, no matter what others thought of us, no matter what the world thought of us, no matter what our accomplishments or non-accomplishments, our successes or failures were in the world, that we would come face to face with the Creator of it all, the King of the universe, and we would hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Let's pray. God, we thank you for this word. God, we thank you that you are in our lives, you are working in, around, and through us, that you are speaking to us. God, help us to have the strength to be willing to listen. Listen to you instead of the messages of the world. Be willing to be changed and transformed. God, write a legacy in us that is bigger than anything we ever dreamed, so that one day we may hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." God, we trust that you will make it so. In Jesus' name, amen.